You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore.
This is Sound Poetry, Radio Tacoma, KTAH 101.9 FM. And I am your host, David Gilmore. I'm here today with a man who was called Poetry Man at one time, Tom Nolan of Tacoma, and he has many, many collections. I've known him for many years, and I think I met him through poetry. So you're going to be regaled by another kind of poetry from what has been performed recently, some short pieces, some longer, but I think the kaleidoscopic scope of Tom's work will startle, amaze, and leave you with images that you won't be able to forget. But first, welcome Tom Nolan to Sound Poetry.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Tell David. Us a little about your career as a poet. I know that you've had many turns through verse.
Well, I was interested in poetry in high school, where I was first introduced to some of the English poets and American poets. And I began reading parts and listening to parts and starting to absorb what poetry was intending to do. And I like musical groups like Simon and Garfunkel and folk music. And I like Bob Dylan, and later I liked Jim Morrison, and I just kept reflecting and observing and starting to jot my own notes down, and pretty soon I decided I was writing poetry.
Jim Morrison of the Doors, who was known as a poet too, had published some poetry, and yet is better known for the music of the Doors, with Manzarek and other artists that were famous with him. Yeah, I remember, Tom, we went to see Michael McClure. Remember we went to see him reading at Kane Hall, wasn't it? Okay. And Ray Manzarek was playing
from the Doors.
A musical accompaniment, kind of noodling behind him, which was quite an experience that you surprised me one afternoon to say, let's go in here. Michael McClure, and I thought, no, and sure we did. So you were fond of the beat poets, though, weren't you?
Yes, I studied the beat poets, and Michael McClure was interesting because he was very environmental, and there were lots of animals, species and things, and whales. And like some of the other American poets who talked about nature.
Yeah. Are you going to read one that gives us a sample of the beat kind of idea, or the miscellaneous kind of versifying that went with the beats? Have you got some of those for us?
Okay, this is called Je suis perdu. I am lost. So restless for some unattainable worlds, she slipped in with a tan, wrinkled trench coat. We talked about spandex children with roller skates and white poodles on long leashes. Phrases of art talk filtered up. Mini-series streamers. Port Townsend film fests. Expect she wants something that I don't have. Still she dazzles me with her Byzantine jewelry and knee-length riding boots.
Experience of meeting children in spandex. That's very good. Gives images that you won't forget.
Monk dust. There are monks among us. They float above in the light's dizzy dust. There are monks among us.
This is a journey through the brain. It's a description of the brain in Nolan language.
Curiosities of the pea-sized pineal gland. Between primordial ice and bountiful phenomenology is the pea-sized pineal gland, which is another tiny mystery to man. The hippocampus, of course, is just a tucked-under seahorse. Two cerebral hemispheres are the penthouse decamires, corpus callosum, the hidden opossum, cerebellum, frontal lobe, temporal lobe. These are parts to this hidden globe. From Columbia to Berkeley, the 60s version. A student grins at all the feverish pamphleteering outside Berkeley's Sather Gate. Stop the war. 800 students arrested in Sproul Hall. SDS and the free speech movement. Robert Oppenheimer called it a thinning of common knowledge, dogmatic postures. Students being sacrificed on the altars of research. Universities locked into Defense Department contracts. Instead of developing strategies for peace, disarmament, and world unity, department chiefs, unswaying boards of directors, have fractured the hub of knowledge, splintered up, divisioned off communities, sneering at the students from a safe distance on the podium of moneyed values, powered by manipulative greed. All the bleached speeches and false promises, just refined expressions of cliches, broken arrows.
Did you go to Berkeley?
I was living in the Bay Area one summer, and I went to Berkeley to visit the library and campus.
And was that back in the 60s during the
free speech movement? In the 70s.
So shortly after the high times of the free speech movement.
Yes. Buffalo Morning Star's teepee. Slender crickets fly up dusty on my jaunt past Morning Star's teepee. On the Colville Indian Reservation dance magic circles of orange sparks. Saplings shimmer by the tiny creek. In the low octagonal sweat lodge, steam rises from hippie beadwork and sizzling rocks. I have seen the earthly creator as he designs the rising and setting suns. The silken Chinese dragon sleeps in the clouds, swirls of dust over cow patties, a child hawking crystals.
A little hint there of the psychedelic experience of meditation in the desert. Did you spend any time doing that kind of meditation or sitting in sweat lodges?
Well, that was from attending a Okanagan barter festival, and which was quite fascinating because they had big bonfires and there were actual teepees. And
was that one of the occasions when you went with Michael Spatz and his lady friend?
The face painter.
What was her name?
Kimberly.
Kimberly, yes. Kimberly the clown. She had the clown Victoria as her registered clown personality. Yes.
Yes.
Quite an experience to spend a week with them.
Yes, it was. Two coffins filled with diamonds. English pirates buried them. Two coffins filled with diamonds on an unnamed, an uncharted island, somewhere in blue dazzling Caribbean, towards the West Indies in the Lesser Antilles. Along with it, they placed a golden Madonna, which they sunk in a lagoon, sea green. Years later, it resurfaced partially after a buffering winter hurricane.
Tom has brought several collections of his poetry. I know of one called The Speckled Birds, which there are 120 or so poems, but his collections are three or four volumes before me here, and he's now going to read another that I have not read from the recent collection that he gave me, though. What is this one called?
The Chase Lounge Observations. If a pink crawfish squeezes you to death, you will be instantly ordained in the golden hall of perfection as the knight of the supreme claw. Milliway's Cafe. Lear and Carroll, Coleridge and Poe, Proust cork-lined room. Meager moments, crackling echoes. Matter is light.
The march of literary figures.
Ancient Sea Pilgrim. The ancient sea pilgrim crawled up from the turquoise sea into a pink and moist beach of the tropics. Some palms waved above in a brief epiphany. On its shell dabbled in neon lineaments, almost dimly obscure until reflection. This flickering limitless light inside, in the distance the bronze gong sounded as it laid its eggs and covered them up, crawling back seaward with the new high tide.
You're moving into imagery that's becoming more brightly colored and even maybe psychedelic, which is, I think, imagery that I've noticed in some, even some of your recent ones. Did you study the Surrealists at all?
I did study the Surrealists.
Their painting and their writings, or what?
Studied their moments, like Dali, and I mm-hmm. studied the painters that were abstract. And I did go to art school for a couple years and spent a lot of time studying sculpture and modern art.
Were the Dadaists also involved in your research and study with the Surrealists?
Well, certainly the Dadaists were very unique, and I guess you could say they were anti-war.
They had magazines. They put out a magazine. Some literature of theirs is still showing itself in some magazines because of, well, they're archived somewhere. But most people know the Surrealists through not literature as much as through the painting, but there are Surrealist writers and poets, right?
Yes. I'm looking for the Duke of Language, the Pope of Words, the Cardinal of Ideas, the King of Syntax, the Emperor of Interlocking Thoughts, the Quarterback of Knowledge. Have you seen him? I'm searching for the President of Laughs, the Diplomat of Hope, the Sadai Prince of Desserts, the Pilgrim of Learning, the Misfits of the Fragmentary, the Beachcomber of the Literary, the Impartial Augustus. Have you seen him? If you do, order me a clubhouse sandwich.
That one ends with a surprise. I mean, we come going through statesmen and ending with Augustus, but the sub-clubhouse sandwich, surreal as could be, unless Augustus was the name of a restaurant.
Detective circles. Around and around in continuous circles go the birds of prey, cautiously circling above, below the whirling Monterey coastline. Police are busy investigating where a Ferrari drove from the cliff, wind blowing smoke crazily upwards. My nostrils smell burning rubber. No final statements, little to know, although the flaming sports car is a 68. So little to do but wait. Squawking police scanners, a rescue helicopter fly by. Woman in hazel eyes, blonde hair, tangerine scarf. She cried by the police barriers in blue jeans and turtleneck. Man with spiral notebook writing above the surrendering surf. So blank the sky, so complicated are the lives, so high the clouds, seeming to hang on piano wires.
Was that an experience that you came across on of your
that was,
trips?
That was time I was in Big Sur.
On Highway 1.
Requies for the Saints. When the Saints flew in and hovered overhead, voyaging triumphantly, gallivanting, on a lark. They dip into the blue, Francis of Assisi, levitator, sainted birdman, St. Teresa, Carmelite nun, very light with veil, sweeping about, Francisco Suarez, up in the breeze, Maria Corallino, Agreda, tranced in ecstatic hoverings in her prayer alcove, an electric pass with rosary beads. When Joseph Deza rose into the mystic air, several nuns screamed, "He will catch on fire."
That's a catalog of Catholics. Your experience in schooling and church life at one time was deep into Catholicism, right? Through your family, your schooling?
That's right.
Tell us about that. People would like to know where you went to school.
I went to grade school at Holy Cross Catholic grade school, and it was run by the Dominicans. And then I went to prep school run by the Jesuits, known as Bellarmine. And then I attended the University of Portland, where I studied communicative arts. And that was run by the Brothers of the Holy Cross, which are also connected to Notre Dame.
And is that where you, in your Portland college life, is that where you became interested in photography?
I did. Actually, when I was in Portland, there was a priest that taught photography, and I took a class and starting to learn some of the chemistry. And later I decided that I really liked photography and started taking pictures and collecting my own history.
You didn't have a dark room, did you?
No.
But you did many black and white prints. Tom has an eye for the black and white, high contrast photography of yesteryear, the sort that you don't see quite so often these days. My wife and I have some very fine pictures that Tom took when we were at certain fairs or events, and we cherish them. He has quite an eye for an image. And do you still take photographs, or have you given that up?
Oh, I often take photographs daily.
But aren't you doing it more with the modern device rather than the old Leica or whatever it was that you were known to carry around a lot?
I do use the Leica digital, an M10. And I often take pictures with my iPhone, which seems to be pretty accurate and sharp.
Do you feel that some of your poetry has been influenced by your photographic eye?
Oh, absolutely. They're intermixed. Yeah. Phrases, polyphases of the great accumulator. The great attractor is calling you. Do not blink in hesitation. Galaxies, stars, planets, earth currents and lays, telluric centers of force, living in obscurity, O rare alchemical green lion, salt, mercury, and sulfur. Von Däniken's theories on space migration, neutrino groupings, sweet, ineffable thrills, Tesla folly phases, prominent solar winds. The great attractor wants to accumulate you. Do not hesitate in your blinks. Go. Ceylonese sapphires. Mojave Desert, soft Santa Ana winds, Joshua trees, saguaros, rickety, rickety, rickety. Russian psychics. A fruit bat's lament. The queen laying eggs in hexagonal cells.
That There was a sort of haiku feeling to different segments of that one. You are also a practitioner of haikus, are you not?
Yes, I like haikus.
Not that some of your poetry is brief in the way that there was a brevity to that description there, but perhaps you have a few haikus that we could read in a while.
Yes.
Okay.
Screen scripts. Roll out the papyrus, raise the triumphal arches, call out the London Philharmonic, unmask the political charlatans, point to the gilding, wainscoting, observe the warbling of the wrens, hear the bankruptcy of men, surmise and steal away in phantom Bentleys, draw your tinctures, extractions, preparations, climb your marble staircases in grandiose manners, munch on your Majun candy with hot tea, throw out your doubts and waverings to the cosmos. Be the perfectly prepared man untrifled with. Fill the sarsidotal void.
Now, what is this kind of candy that you have in there?
Majun.
What is Majun candy?
It's hashish.
We're getting into... psychotropic substances here. Very interesting. Are we going to go further in that direction, perhaps?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Woman of the Narrows. She had lithographic prints from the Louvre, a tabby cat named Drexel, winter waters beneath her house, the Citroën car stories of Paris in the Loire district, a cozy Dutch pot-bellied stove, a view of submarines and narrow bridge lights, skylight windows that leaked, a tale of the escaped fugitive that once hid beneath her house until a neighbor notified the police, who brought in a search team with German shepherds, but were unable to locate him. Pylons that were rotting, knot holes where you could see the waves.
A mystery.
This is titled Ghost Voice. Specter words melted away, written on sugar cubes, false futures, spoke like 24-hour bag ladies. Curious suspensions shattering stone clouds. Abrupt poltergeists silenced on mirrored stairways, transferring synapses. All around perfumes of incense, candles, nostrils noodling, the geist faltering in its moaning speech. As the chemistry flame found its fiery triangles, Dr. D appeared, and his earless, skull-capped charlatan, Mr. Kelly, to wince up in crystal fragments, one-legged and hopping in shadows.
For those that are not aware of ancient and somewhat arcane lore, Dr. D is... a famous name from alchemy, or what kind?
Yes.
When did you come across him? You had some interest in him with a book, I remember you showed me.
I have, but to recall that,
do
I can't.
Do you remember that
book
of Dr. D? And who was, what hero was Dr. D?
The English mystics who influenced one of the kings of England.
All right.
Match Null. At daybreak, by wisdom and prudence, beneath the rose cinquefoil and wavy vines, one recalls how civilization carted off treasures of the world and best minds and bodies towards caverns open only to torchbearers, the endless grinning stalagmites and stalactites, aromatic censers rising within, pungent flowers presented to the dead. How Mother Nature alone is true, although vast civilizations sweep here and there, building their aqueducts, marble arches, pleasure domes, galaxies of sand held in the salty palm, lazy chimeras swallowing the seasons, great souls suffering in silence, as the friction sparks of a star burst beyond mankind's imagination.
When you write your poetry, is it a morning experience or a late night experience?
I write at different periods of the hour.
But do you do it in broad daylight, or is it something that comes from early morning rising and you have a sort of fragment of a poem on your mind that gets you started?
There are fragments, and then through the day we'll build them and wait. Sometimes I can finish them quickly, and sometimes they build for months. And then
so it's kind of a daily cogitation. You like to walk a great deal. When you're walking, is poetry that comes to mind, imagery?
I suppose it does. I mean, it's the best meditative manner besides sitting like a Buddha in some corner. But I often go to movies, and movies also seem to stimulate my thinking about language. Mm-hmm. The Ducal Crypt of Weimar. The Sorrows of Young Werther was written in 1779. Goethe, its author, was buried in the Ducal Crypt of Weimar next to Schiller. Poor Schiller had nothing to say about it.
So that's the last of the ancient literary figures, perhaps, that we're going to read. And we're going to move. There's a fine collection called Speckled Birds. These birds are, without doubt, speckled, and perhaps more contemporary than some of the poetry that you have heard in the collection that was just read from. There is one. From the Speckled Birds, I think it'd be very interesting to use some of the contemporary poems in here, and some that deal with ordinary life that I've read and enjoyed. But you begin this collection with A New Year Approaching, which struck me as I read it the other day as perhaps one that resonates with some of the newness of the year 2021 that we are enduring, living through haphazardly, it seems. A New Year Approaching, your opening poem.
A New Year Approaching. Midnight is still a long ways away. All my tears have fallen out. The new year is advancing fast, deceptively in a non-positive way. Parts of me already wait to unmask it, pull at its dreary ankle curtains. Where will it make its long presence, its noticeable realm of new weariness? Take me in with its cantankerous smiles. Why does it? The happy diapered baby turned into the long-bearded man so soon. 2015, 2016.
From opening, then you choose a mystic's surprise, which does give us a return to some of the, well, slightly disjunct, surrealistic imagery of the ones you have read earlier. Mystic surprise. Mysticism has been noticed through the ones that you've read. Read the mystic surprise.
Mystic surprise. Could have been a yellow curry chicken that gave me stirrings shimmering. That mystic surprise. Could have been after reading some Blake while sipping vinaigrette wines with some salad mixed with wild shrooms. Round the ring race you must go in syncopation sacrosanct. Doki wallops to and fro, for in galloped the albino giraffe as the evangelist wore purple sneakers with a skull and cross on each toe. Then in syncopation even more, from floor to vault, what is there to ask about? I see deeply into her eyes, like vast clerestory windows, what her beauteous soul is all about. Above the vast glazed triforia, seems all spectacular and shimmers glazed. Even the tree limbs whisper her name, then dissolved and dematerialized away.
Thank you very much, Tom Nolan, for scintillating verse images that will remain and dissipate and return again like the Cheshire Cat.
Thank you very much for letting me read today.
The poetry David. Man, Tom Nolan, once known for the Spud Goodman Show.
Best wishes, and I'll see you in the future.
We'll do this again sometime. This is great. Thank you very much, Tom. This is Sound Poetry. I've been your host, David Gilmore.